as the body is, what I say, talking to, as you're having pain, as you hold the pain, it's not because our bodies are betraying us and saying, you know, I'm sick and tired of you walking on these knees and my knees are killing me. There's reasons why that is happening. And if you understand what it is, you can move through it and work with your body instead of feeling like it's letting you down.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Creative Truth, where I talk to artists, entrepreneurs, and creative professionals. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, my very own Aunt Diane.
Yay!
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And we've been talking about this for a little bit now, and we've also been toying with the idea of you starting your own podcast.
I'm really excited about that.
So this is your first podcast appearance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely the first.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We talked about this the other day. Sometimes it's hard to describe what we do. The quick term of what you do is deep tissue massage, but I know that it's much more than that.
Right.
So could you kind of give the people an overview of kind of what you do and the scope of everything that you provide for them?
Mm-hmm. So what I do that's a little bit unique for being a deep tissue massage therapist is that I've been given a God-given gift of being able to find stuck energy in people's bodies. And when my hands travel there, often the stuck energy has something to tell us. And so as I reach those spots and I start asking questions about what are you noticing here? Because I definitely have opinions or kind of hits on what it feels like to me. It allows people with their stuck energy, usually it's a perpetual stuck energy that they struggle with, and they don't really know why is it constantly reappearing, you know, and they stretch, they do all these kinds of things, but typically something that continues to reoccur has everything to do with something that's going on with them emotionally. So I help them get to that depth of what it is emotionally.
What's something that you would say is like happens? I mean, a lot of people have maybe neck problems, mm-hmm. or lower back issues. What's something that people like that comes up a lot that people might not realize that it's more impacted or affected by their emotional life and kind of that, you know, energistic side than just the fact that they're, you know, staring at a computer all day or whatever.
Right. I work on so many people, and I would say that although sometimes I'll have a week that's just filled with neck issues, shoulder issues, something like that, and other weeks there's nothing but feet or nothing but knees. And I think it's more for me to have the benefit of seeing how many different ways that people can have different kinds of emotions in those different places. And those, you know, so if everyone's having a neck thing, not everyone's having the same particular issue, rather than just saying, I have a stiff neck or I sleep, my pillow's terrible, you know, whatever it is. No, sometimes it's a matter of, for the neck issue in particular, lots of times when there's stuff going on in the throat, in the neck, it has a lot to do with our ability to communicate what is, we struggle, things are difficult to say to other people. And yet, if you recognize the difficult stuff that's hard to say, and you're able to say it, it no longer has to be stuck in the throat or in your neck. So if you're willing to be, say the tough things. It could be to your boss. It could be to a sibling. It could be to a parent, or you know, someone who you just want to, maybe a neighbor who you just want to stay friends with, but they're driving you crazy. By saying the truth and trying to keep it in I statements, the motivation to do that would be so you don't have to carry it in your neck, and you don't have to have it be literally a pain in your neck. That you go like, well, this is how it feels to be me. This is really a pain in my neck. And I want to let you know that this isn't working for me. And just by doing that, frees up the neck from going like, this is really driving me crazy. And, you know, being hard on yourself and having to hold other people's stuff.
I know a lot of, a big part of what you do is like having like a very thorough understanding of anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back to the deep tissue and energy healing side of things. But
right.
Was the first time you really got a sense of anatomy, was that when you were studying for equestrian school? And what was that like?
That, when I was studying, right, to be a vet assistant at the time. Anatomy is, I find it so fascinating. And just like the mechanics of every muscle crosses over a joint and it's moving, or it's, you know, it's affecting, you know, so we can be so diverse in our movements. And depending on how exact we get, it's how we develop those muscles. The fact that I've, you know, had so much anatomy in that field, and then going on to get my massage license, massage therapy license from that kind of anatomy, where you start focusing more on people. Again, I kept seeing these similarities, but truly it's a matter of this instinctual thing that was given to me that wasn't even there. I mean, I've been doing massage since I was a kid. And when my brother was, you know, doing some crazy moves, water skiing and hurting himself, that he'd be like, you got to work on me. And I've been doing it forever, you know. So to me, it makes a lot of sense. But the muscles, was how you hurt them and how to release them, is like something that's, you know, I may have done it blindly before becoming licensed, but it's always been there. Yeah.
Was there a moment or like a time of your life where you realized that maybe you had something different, or that you realized that you were kind of, you had something that other people just had no awareness of or interest in or ability?
Yeah. That's like one of my favorite stories to tell, about when I first recognized that there's something above and beyond what most people can do. And I'll try to be short about this, but I worked on this woman. I was fairly new out of massage school, and I was working deep in her abdomen. And I was working on a muscle called the iliac psoas muscle. It's the deepest muscle within your body. And anyways, I'm in her abdomen and I'm working on it. I'm stretching it. She's got lower back issues, and I'm trying to release all that stuck energy in there. And as I'm working at her, all of a sudden, clear as day, about 2 or 3 feet in front of me, becomes this image of a porcupine. And I'm like, what the heck? And now I like the woods. I like nature. I like animals. And I'm like, why am I thinking about a porcupine? So I'm like, focus on what you're doing. So then I like, okay, blow that away. Focus on this iliac psoas muscle. And I go back into it. And boom, right there in front of my face again is a porcupine. I'm like, stop, like, focus on what you're doing already. So I kind of brush that aside and I go deep into this muscle, and I'm like concentrating on what I'm doing, and also on porcupine. And so now I feel like a horse's butt in the fact that I'm going to ask the most dumbest question, but I won't be able to get through this without having this porcupine interrupt my work. So I ask my client on the table, does porcupine mean anything to you? And she says, yes, it's what my family calls me. She says, they say I'm hard to get close to, and I'm very prickly around them. And I realized that the fact that I see things like that is something that not everybody does. So instead of trying to push it away, I actually started moving closer to that and understanding that this is part of the gift.
But there's no real way to describe what you do, because, I mean, do you really have peers or contemporaries in that do exactly what you do, or like how close do other people get to what you do?
I've never met anybody who can do what I do, but it's not to raise me up, because I feel the same way about each person has a gift that I don't have, and I can appreciate it so much, recognizing that we all have gifts. And it's not to try to make myself bigger, better than anyone else. Absolutely not. But it's the fact that I recognize what my gift is. And I also want to honor the people around me and what their gift is, because it's just as important. And it's just that I just been wanting to do a podcast because I wanted to let other people know that, you know, as the body is, why I say talking to you, as you're having pain, as you hold the pain, it's not because our bodies are betraying us and saying, you know, I'm sick and tired of you walking on these knees and my knees are killing me. There's reasons why that is happening. And if you understand what it is, you can move through it and work with your body instead of feeling like it's letting you down. Yeah.
Even pre-massage therapy, mm-hmm. probably going back to when you were a kid, when did you kind of have a sense of energy and fourth dimension? You know what I mean? The spiritual realm and the spiritual, because I know some, this is a preloaded question.
Like, yeah, because you know those.
Yeah. Well, what are some of those, like, early childhood
memories of
that ability. Energistic ability? Yeah.
One of the earlier ones is when I was about 2 or 3 years old, and I'm hanging out to my mom's hand, and we're walking down the street, and I could clearly see in this our neighbor's yard a big, like, oak tree, just a magnificent oak tree that was holding its leaves. It's summertime, and it's just brilliantly, like, so, like, majestic, and I could see the aura of the tree dancing, and it was just swaying, and it was so happy. It was getting everything it needed. It was getting its water. It was getting its sunlight. It was just happy. And I pointed that out to my mother, and I said, "Mom, look at that tree. It's dancing." And she said, "Like, Diane, that's just the heat off the pavement." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, the pavement's over here. I'm looking at this thing on the side lawn," and recognize that not everyone can see it. And that was a little surprising. And now her mother did see stuff like that. And so I was able to talk to her. So it was wonderful having an adult be able to confirm the things that I could see and explain to me why some people can't and some people can.
What was her answer? Or why would she say that some people can't?
She says it's like a matter of jumps generations. It's her explanation. And that, and I'm not sure what the reasoning is of jumping generations, because I would also say that my daughter has an ability too, although I don't think it's as developed as what mine is, but I've caught her noticing things. And one in particular, I saw a ghost, and Julie was talking to me and saying something had happened to her during the day, and she's just ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and I was gonna say to her, "Hey, do you see this ghost?" As we're driving, and she just didn't take a break in her conversation. So I was just like letting it go and letting her talk. And all of a sudden she stopped mid-sentence and turned and stared at the ghost that I was looking at. And then she completely picked up where she left off and continued to talk. And when she was done telling me what she was telling me, I said, "Did you notice a ghost that we just went by?" And she said, "No, I didn't see it." I'm like, "You absolutely stopped talking and stared right at it." And she says, "I never saw it." So I know she has this ability. She just doesn't know it to where I know it. Yeah.
So, I mean, other people that have this kind of ability might go on and have it be like the main focus of their career or their craft, right? But I think it is interesting that, again, like, kind of the background in animals and anatomy is such a, like, a grounded thing about the mechanics of how the nervous system and the skeletal muscular system, they all work together. But then, like, layered on top of that is that energy system, right?
Right.
And so for you, it's kind of, I want to say, like, secondary or, like, supplementary to your craft or your trade.
True.
So, which I think was what makes it so unique, because you're not like a medium.
Right, not a medium. No. Yeah.
You're helping people with their physical anatomy.
Right.
And then releasing some of that breathing into
stuck areas
or through stuck areas. And then, yeah, I know that when you work on my neck or whatever, shoulder, back, you can actually take a deep breath in. Mm-hmm. And then as you're like applying pressure and energy, when you release your breath, you can actually feel this lump kind of move or dissolve kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, and I do spend, I want to say quite a bit of time, but really once you get it, it's not quite a bit of time. It's like, it's either, it's kind of like either you get it, you don't. And I often will start with a client. I just did this week with another new client. And I was saying to her, like, I could hold a spot and have you breathe into it. And to show for an example, I was working right next to her scapula. And because it's easy, it's like right next to the lungs. And so someone who doesn't work with the body can say, well, yeah, I can breathe there because it's right next to my lungs. And so I'm holding a muscle that's completely tight and stuck, and then teach them how to breathe into that. And then exhale it, and then take a breath in, but having it with intention, you're bringing the breath through the heart and bringing love and light into that breath. And you're focusing on where my hands are touching the body, and you're pushing the from inside, you're pushing towards my fingers. And with the love and light that's hitting those, it's like an acceptance of the pain. It's a huge thing, because now you're no longer fighting your body. You're now saying, I'm interested enough to know what the pain is that we're holding here, and trying to be gentle and soft with a concern for where are you in pain. And you're saying that to yourself, to your body, because it's a communication between the, basically the mind that has all this kind of judgment and the heart that just like wants to be open. So you're kind of trying to negotiate a communication between those two places. And once you understand how to do it, like at the scapula, say, you can then get them to do it the lower back. And that they go, really? You think I can breathe down that? I'm like, yeah, you can actually breathe all the way down to your toes. But, and I know because you and I have worked together and you're such a good communicator and you listen and follow direction and you trust, because you are so open, I found it like super easy to teach you how to do it. Super, super easy. But other people have this like the stop about it where they get concerned that like this, like you can't breathe down to your knees, and like, oh, yes, you can. Yeah. But you know what? As I say, you know, if you think it's not possible, you're right. It's not possible.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when people do respond to it well, they tend to become like lifelong.
Oh yeah.
Friends and clients. And
very much so.
Can you tell, like, maybe what's the farthest somebody's traveled, or some like extreme example of somebody that you had them for a long time or whatever?
So I moved for about a year from Pennsylvania, and I moved to Oregon. And I had this one client who was as faithful as can be. And he's like, I cannot live without you, which is not true. You certainly can. But anyways, he said he's used his vacation time to come to Oregon to clear cross country for me to work on him. And I worked on him every single day. Just because, you know, it's his vacation time for one thing. And then he would, you know, go back home. And then, you know, about 6 months later, he'd have another week's vacation. So he'd come back out and get work done for another 7 days. And, you know, and I'm like, I totally understand that. You know, I have people who travel, like right now, they travel about 200 miles at least once a month to come see me. And, when I was living in Pennsylvania, I had people from New York State come down and get worked on. So, yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah.
Is this something that you think other people could learn how to do?
I think so. And I was just describing this to someone. The fact that I'm putting my hands on someone because they're coming to me saying, I'm stuck and I want to move forward through this. And all kinds of information is laid out for me to see. And if a person says, I don't want, you know, there's a part of my life I don't want you to be going into that.
Investigating.
Yeah, exactly.
Opening up these
like Pandora's box.
Locks.
Please. Right.
Yep.
I have no, I feel like that's a violation and I would never, ever do that. If there's a thing where someone says, I don't know why I'm in so much pain, but here it is. Can you help me work through it? Then, yeah, then I go there and I'll be like, what about this point? And, you know, what do you feel about that? Because you could, the body will tell you who, where, what, when, what's going on, if you really want to hear it. And if someone's fearful about exposing what that is, then probably you don't want to see me. So can I teach someone to do this? I believe I can, although I've never tried. But I believe it's this, is like when couples have an affair or are inappropriate somehow, whatever, I think that when you're with your significant other and you put your arms around them and you realize there's something different here, what is it I'm feeling? They don't know. And because the other person isn't prepared, like how would you know there's anything there at all? They don't know what it is they're feeling because they've not spent hours and hours touching other people's bodies, understanding the vibration and what it's telling you. So I think that if anyone ever wanted to learn it, it's a matter of having the opportunity and being open to have it be anything, everything.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you're under the light and you're interrogating somebody. And
no.
It's like, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets.
Never.
You know?
No.
But because it is kind of an opportunity to open up and it is therapeutic.
Right.
I mean, literally in massage therapy, but also in an emotional sense.
Sure.
Without naming any names, can you think of any weirdos?
Yeah.
Like people that fell in love or is there anything like that?
Fell in love? I wouldn't call someone falling in love a weirdo. You mean fall in love with me? Did you say? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Because people often do that. Men and women will both, tell me they want to take me home and all that. But that's, and it's really what it is that they fall in love with themselves. And so it's, but that's not being a weirdo necessarily. It's just that it's a wonderful thing to be able to recognize and appreciate being open. And I encourage people to be open.
Yeah.
So because of that, it just feels so loving. And it's a nation of starved people that are feeling disconnected.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of this physical manifestation probably comes from a lack of love and acceptance. So like you're a lot of times the first one that's being that, allowing somebody to be that open with themselves. So
exactly.
Yeah. So people respond to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the fact that they know that they can trust. And certainly someone says, they come in, they go like, what do I have to take off? I'm like, you don't take off anything if you don't want to. Cause it's not, that's not it. But typically once you've been getting work done, enough times, people just come in and like, I step out of the room, they strip down, they'll always have draping on them. So they're never exposed. But it's funny because when you start recognizing that you want to really understand what is it you're holding, what the heck is that? It's kind of like, I don't want any barriers. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. And they just, lay down and they put a sheet over and then they say, I'm ready. And I come back in and work on it. But it kind of makes me laugh because this is the same person who would wear, jogging pants instead of, and I'm like, okay, I can work with that. That's okay. It just makes me laugh because where you first fear, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to find? Now they're like, go at it, Diane. Go find it. You just tell me what you find.
I want to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my agenda is not to hurt anybody. But if you go like, I want some deep tissue. I want this to be worked on. I'll give you one other one. You didn't necessarily mention it, but you're almost touching on it. And I want to share this with you is that there are times when people have been... have life experiences that go way back to when they're like really very, very young. And I've worked on people who have been therapists and who are really accomplished, social workers and whatever, right? People who are doing this for a living. And it's interesting to me that they, this one person in particular I'm thinking of, she had been a very accomplished therapist for like 35 years. And I was working on her, and I recognized when I put my hand on her, right above her knee, I was working, she's face up, and I'm working on her. And I all of a sudden got this big waft of sweet tobacco smell. And I asked her, I said, who is it that smokes sweet tobacco? And she got like, went from being in a zen place to being like, you know, like the Hulk, kind of like, wow, just went completely the other direction. And she had told me that it had been a relative who had molested her. And she said, I've worked on this for years. And she was like, I'm so done with it. I'm like, yeah, but the tissue still has memory. And that's what we're addressing. And so we're just going to that place and going to meet that that spot and let it release. And so we kind of go back to where you're just a little kid. We're going to be there. I'm going to be holding your hand through this terrible time and help you navigate through it so you don't have to hold that memory any longer. So when she was done off the table, she was like, I feel like I could float out of this room. Yeah.
So she did allow you to take her to that vulnerable place?
Yeah, because she already knew I was there. Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike maybe some, not even contemporaries, but something we talked about the other day was that you have like this ability to, well, not compartmentalize, but you don't take on this energy.
No.
You are able to leave it at the door and release it or ground it, as you say.
Right.
How and why is it so important?
It's important for the client. It's also important for me because like, for instance, take the energy that was being held in that tissue of that last example. She doesn't need to carry it any longer, and it's certainly not mine to carry. And so I look at it more like something that's, you know, decayed. That, like if you look at a compost pile, that the value of that is to say, this once was nurturing. This was like maybe something from the garden. And then you're like, okay, we're done with that because this is all, you know, it's past its prime. It's all done. And we throw we discard all the nutrients, whatever, that go back to the earth. And so I recognize that, you know, someone once said that, yeah, but isn't that polluting the earth? I'm like, earth doesn't see it that way. The earth says that these minerals and such, they have value. So it's like, you know, ash to ash and dust to dust and all that. That whole circle of life is supposed to go back. If we recognize that we're not trying to harm the earth, and we recognize that the pains that we carry are so intense and so true. And we're, you know, sometimes even in siblings, like they grew up in the same household, one finds the situation perfectly sensible and acceptable, and the other person feels violated and hurt. So is either one of them wrong? Heck no. The one that's feeling it and carrying it and is feeling despair about it, that part needs to be met and recognize that it's, you know, all decomposed crap from childhood that you carry. Let's just take that and then put it back where it belongs in the earth and try to make sense and be as a mature person who has, you know, had my own kind of, you know, pains and growth and all that, and meet someone where they have been stuck in theirs and show them how to navigate through it in order to be send it back to the earth to move forward. And then let it nurture something else and let something good come out of that instead of being spiteful and mad about what has happened in the past.
Is there a religious or spiritual element to this, or does it depend on kind of, does somebody's belief system affect this at all, positive or negative?
That's a really great question. Knowing that I was raised a Christian, I also practice being a Unitarian Universalist. And I also, in that, you know, some of my closest friends are atheists. And to me, it makes no difference of how you come into this world and how, you know, what brings you onto my table to work on this stuff. That makes no difference at all. How a person tries to negotiate their own growth is the language that I try to pick up from how they express it to me. And, you know, you and I both know that, like, because our Christian background, that that how when we have a dinner together, let's say, when we say our prayers and our meals and whatever, that, you know, we say God. But I also, around a ton of people, it's like a higher power or whatever. I never would have take my religious belief and throw it down someone else's throat. So I guess the answer is, like, it has nothing to do with religion. Although I gotta say, for me, my gift is something that I consider a God-given gift. That is, in fact, I would say that my ability to do this is 100% all that. That I wouldn't be able to do what I do. That it's not even something. I just think that I've got a connection because of my life experiences that have made me very aware of God in my life. But again, just because I've had these huge experiences of recognizing if it wasn't for something greater than myself, I would not be here. And I can tell you like five, I'm not going to today, but five major things that have happened that I should not be here, that only by the grace of God or my guardian angels or whatever that all is, have made sure I stuck around. So for me, it's clear for me that it's something greater than myself, it's God or something, but I don't want to spin it like it's a religious thing.
Well, for me, like, I think it's like having a foundation in religion and like specifically Christianity for me is kind of a way to align myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I go off the path, you can go back onto the path. Mm-hmm. Well, like that could look like chakras or whatever.
Sure.
So your energy gets out of whack. You have a way to bring yourself back centered. And when you've got this kind of path forward, mm-hmm. you can realign yourself versus just wandering blindly. Right.
Right.
So I think for like a client, so for me, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
I bet for a lot of people, there's a lot of hangups around that, you know, blockages and stoppages there.
Absolutely. And also, I kind of wonder, because I don't know, because of the fact I have seen ghosts and, you know, several times, and they're just around us and they don't scare me. And I feel so protected. And like I said, I should have died like at least five times already. And the fact that I know I'm around is because I'm supposed to be here. And I'm supposed to be doing something greater than myself. And I can only do something greater than myself if I pray about it, because that's my method, it's my way. But it doesn't mean it's right for everyone. But for me, I ask for guidance. I ask for support. And I feel like I get it. And I get like all this stuff that, you know, like we talked about the laws of abundance, right? And some people would say that's not God at all. That's, you know, you're now doing mystical stuff. But like, no, to me, it's like all one and the same. It's recognizing there's something greater than ourselves that are at work that are helping us, because, you know, like just like if we help one another, we're helping ourselves too. And when we get out of our own head, we get out of our own depression when we're helping others. So, you know, if we don't recognize that there's stuff we're supposed to be out there doing. If we sit there and flounder and, you know, can't get out of our own way, you know, all we can do is try to like lift those who need love around us. And you know, which helps the whole. Yeah.
Yeah. They say like love is the only thing that the more you give, the more you get. Right.
Right.
That and head lice.
Yeah. That's funny.
I just came up with that.
That's really good.
But your vision for this podcast, I mean,
yeah,
I think it's really cool. I think it is unique, and it's something you could have the opportunity to share it with the world. What's your vision for what going that could forward? Look like? Yeah.
I do my best work when I actually have my hands on people. So I'm picturing having people allow me to record them, of course, blurring out their faces or even, you know, to whatever degree that they can be recorded. And because it's when I touch my hands on their shoulders or neck, their back, their knees, their feet, all these things have different messages. And while you're in session, it's so organic in the way that I have no agenda. I just go like, well, where are you feeling your pain? And where can we start from there? And then you might say, oh, I feel it all in my neck. Well, it could very well be that the thing that you're not necessarily saying has a lot to do with what's happening in the home. It could all be around hip stuff, let's say. I'm totally making all this up. But anyways, it could be someplace completely different than where you think. And so, but when I touch the neck, all of a sudden I get the, oh no, we should be at the hips. And so I'll go down into the hips. And I think that whole process would make a lot more sense if it was being recorded live, or not live, but would be recorded as what a session looks like. Because then I think that more people will understand it, more people can relate to it. And if they go like, you know, yeah, I was thinking that all my issues were in my neck, or all my issues were in my hips, or whatever. And it turns out that, well, actually, maybe not. Maybe it's more over here, and this is the reason why. And yeah, that it just opens it up so clearly.
How can people follow you, learn more about you, get a hold of you maybe, you know, come experience a session themselves?
Yeah. Well, my office is actually in Saratoga, New York. My telephone number is 518-306-8565. I respond best to texts because when I am in session, I don't pick up my phone. I don't look at my phone. So if you text me and you make reference to that you're interested in receiving the work and possibly being recorded and being a part of my podcast, I would be completely thrilled with that. Yeah.
In upcoming episodes of The Creative Truth, I'm going to be talking to more artists, entrepreneurs, and creative professionals to help discover their path to success. If you have questions, episode feedback, or guest suggestions, you can email me at wecreatetruth@gmail.com. I got a spreadsheet. I just keep putting people's names in there. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave me a good review. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, ring the bell so you know when new episodes come out. We're going to be doing a couple more episodes this season, and then we've got some other big stuff coming down the road. So thanks for listening. Thanks as always for your support, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Take care.